Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with spiritual self-examination.
5, and it reads, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Okay? They got a new way of saying that today, and that is, worry about yourself. Okay? That's bottom line what that means. Worry about yourself. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith, whether you're doing what's right. Whether what you're doing and how you're acting, how you're responding and what you're saying is lining up with the word. Prove or test your own selves. Know you're not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. He said you ought to, in other words, he's saying you ought to be able to judge yourself because you know yourself better than other people. And then now let's back up to Matthew 7. So Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? And Jesus is using an extreme metaphor here. He's saying you're concerned about this little splinter, you got a whole tree sticking out of your eye. Okay, Jesus said, I can't, it's hard for me to wrap my brain on how you can even be concerned and how you could even, as a matter of fact, since your vision is so obstructed with your own issues, how can you dare to see that little speck in your brother's eye? Verse 4. Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. What did Jesus call people do that? Hypocrite. Jesus says it's hypocritical for you to criticize other people and judge other people, and you don't see your own issues. You don't judge yourselves. You know, one of the rules or guidelines that we often give to married people in communication and dealing with conflict in marriage is to understand that you can never get anywhere by not be taking responsibility for your own actions. Okay? And the reason why a lot of marriages break up, deteriorate, and communication break down is because no one ever takes responsibility for their own action. They always justify what they did based upon what the other person did. Well, I wouldn't have said that if you didn't say so. Only reason why I raised my voice because you pushed my buttons. Well, the reason why I push your buttons is because you won't listen to me otherwise. So we get caught up in this cycle about what the other person does and never take responsibility for yourself. And Jesus is saying here, you're going to have to take responsibility for yourself. He said it's hypocritical for you to deal with other people's issues and see other people's problems and other people's shortcomings and don't see your own. Do y'all see that? I didn't say that. Jesus called you a hypocrite if you do that. Verse 5, thou hypocrite, he said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now he doesn't say that there's not a time you shouldn't see the issue that your brother or sister has. He said, but you need to see your own first. He said, you need to see your own first. In other words, before you even go to try to deal with that, realize, you know, one of those quartet groups, y'all know I ain't particularly into quartets. Pastor Trey was into the one that's saying you got to clean up what you mess up. Okay, he thought that was a repentance song. He figured after you did what you did on Saturday night, just sing that song and made everything right before you went to church on Sunday morning. That's the truth. That's true. But what's that song? Sweep. There you go. Okay, sweep around your own front yard, front door. See, I told you I don't know quartet. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. That's based upon the scripture right here. Okay? So Jesus said, if you're trying to sweep around my front door without first sweeping around yours, Jesus said, you're a hypocrite. Right? So we call this spiritual self-examination. In other words, examining ourselves. We said self-examination is a reflective examination as part of as your own beliefs and your own motives. Self-examination, we're talking about introspection. Looking inside yourself, seeing where everything is and what's going on with you before you're concerned about anyone else. And then number two, we said that self-examination is examination of one's body, especially for evidence of disease. Examine yourself, seeing if there's anything wrong, which means it may not be obvious if you don't inspect it. And so we need to regularly inspect ourselves. And what we covered so far is that number one is that you need a mirror to really thoroughly examine yourself. You need a mirror to thoroughly examine yourself. And the Bible tells us in James 1, 23 through 25, regarding our spiritual condition, the word of God is a mirror. The word the King James used, it says a glass, but other translation, that word glass means it's a mirror. He said, but if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a man who beholds his natural face in a glass or mirror, and then he walks away and just forgets what he saw. So the other thing is saying, when you see yourself, do something about yourself. When you see your issues, don't ignore your issues. Go to God about it. Make a decision to be better. There's been a really recently in our staff a major discovery, okay, that we came to because we have these where we talk about issues and a particular issue and what I end up coming to the conclusion of that this culture that we had regarding this particular issue was because of something they feared I would do. Okay? They didn't come up with that. After hearing all the talking, I realized I was at the root of that. So now I've made a commitment to myself and to them that thing I was doing, I won't do anymore. Now, I could say, well, the reason why I did that is because, well, if y'all didn't do such and such, I wouldn't do such. No, I got to take responsibility for that. Sometimes, you know, you husbands and wives, you got to take responsibility for the atmosphere you got in your house. One time when my kids were small and young, we had a pretty tense atmosphere. I was stressed. I was highly stressed. I was stressed regarding finances. I was stressed regarding a job that I never got a break from. Okay? You know, some people don't know about these jobs, but these jobs that you might as well go on vacation anyway because you stay in and you still ain't going to ever get on top of it. Okay? You're just trying to work. It never goes away. So the best thing you can do is clear your mind, go somewhere and lay down somewhere so you can maybe have more energy to try to catch up when you get back because it don't go away anyway. And I was stressed, okay? The household was stressed. My kids were stressed, okay? But I was doing that. And I told you, one day I came out, I started yelling, I want peace in this house! I want peace in this house! The Spirit of the Lord said to me, you're the one disturbing the peace. If you would get yourself together and calm down, you'll have peace in this house. So I had to realize that I had to take responsibility for that. Oh, y'all listen, I can talk about, well, the kids need to not be so noisy, and the kids need to pick up their toys, and they need to clean up after themselves. And blah, 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 blah. One time, Marcia said to me, she said, you do realize this is these kids' house, too. I had never thought about that since they didn't pay no rent. It never crossed my mind this was these kids' house. And what she said, you do realize this is these kids' house. It's not just the house needs just to be conducive for you. That was part of that was my egotistical, chauvinistic mindset that I thought everything revolved around me. Some of you brothers still need to get that together, okay? Yeah. You know, sometimes I listen to, you know, and some of these brothers really gonna have to catch up because women are smarter today. They are, and they ain't taking it. I'm just telling you, they're really not. Okay, you know, I hear all this preaching about your wife oughta make your wife, and she oughta. Where y'all get that woman at? Well, you can just make her. She oughta make sure she, you know, We had somebody. I don't know if y'all heard. If y'all heard this real chauvinistic stuff came across the pulpit one time a couple years ago for our Directing for Life meeting. A pastor said something about the reason why she know it because I taught her the word. Well, that's wonderful. In some cases, the wife got to teach the husband the word. Then went on, husbands, what are you teaching your wives? Making the assumption that the husband the one walking in the word and the husband the smartest person. Come on, y'all. Some of you are going to have to get this, you have to get that stuff together. Okay? So I had to take responsibility for what I was doing in the home to create this atmosphere. What I was doing to cause this tense environment. And that's what he's saying. He said, when you look in the word and the word starts correcting you, know what keeps us from, we discovered this recently too, what keeps us from self-correcting and being corrected is pride. Pride doesn't want to be wrong. Pride can acknowledge what everybody knows already. You're not perfect. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Pride don't want nobody to find out you ain't perfect. Pride doesn't want anyone to know you don't have it all together. Pride doesn't want everybody to know that at best, one thing thou lackest. I told you about that years ago. In my church in Oklahoma, I had lost it. And I lost it publicly. I didn't cuss nobody. Nothing. I yelled at my family. I'm ready to go. Again, I was stressed. You know, I'm doing all this service at the ministry. And then when after church, I was ready to go. Got to get up out of here. I said, come on, everybody. Give me a kid. Come on, let's go. My pastor was on vacation. He said, I heard you just had yourself a good old show out in the church for you, didn't you? I said, well, I was just dressed ready to go. He said, oh, really? Well, you're the assistant pastor of this church. And since you conducted yourself publicly like that, you can apologize publicly. Some of y'all be gone today. I already know. If I made some people do that, they would be gone. I am not going to do that. So he made me get up on, I said, well, I did it on Wednesday night. Can I apologize on Wednesday night when the folks don't come? No, we're going to do this on Sunday morning because everybody heard about it by now. He was on vacation. He heard about it. He said, so folks talking about how you just lost it with your family. So I got up and I prepared my apology. Prepared my apology. And I read the scripture about all the prerequisites for a bishop or a leader in the church. And including it said, must be, temperate. 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 So I read all of them and I said, I read them all. I said, I meet that one. And I'm good at that one. And I read, I said, but temperate. So today I come before you like the rich young ruler. One thing I lacketh. Don't that sound good? Y'all know that ain't no apology. Did that and sat down. Everybody looked at me. He said, we talked after. He said, oh, next Sunday you're going to do it again. Okay. Explain to me how that was a prideful apology. Because even in my apology, I'm trying to save face. Even my apology, I'm really trying to say, but I ain't that bad. Rather than dealing with the one issue. Are y'all listening to me? See, because as long as you're in pride, you won't deal with what you need to deal with about yourself. You're always going to justify it or compare yourself to somebody else. Okay? So number one, we said, examine your heart because everything starts with the heart. Matthew 12:33-35 talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So deal with what's going on. Your heart means your innermost being, what's going on the inside of you. Hebrews 4 and 12. I'm moving quickly. I'm just reviewing so I can move on. It says that the word, we judge our heart even through the word, because the word of God, Hebrews 12 and 4 and verse 12, it says, is a discerner or a separator, gives us understanding, insight to the thoughts and intents of what? Of the heart. And remember, I said everyone has an agenda, but we have to judge those agendas. We all have intentions. We have to judge those intentions. And said, and we do that through the word of God. Let it judge the intents of our hearts. And then I even pointed out last week, you know, this whole thing with Kanye. Okay. Kanye doing his Sunday service and singing and all that kind of stuff. Everybody on both sides, when I say both sides, I mean the world and the church, everybody trying to judge what's the intentions. Right? Well, is he for real? Is he really just making money? Is he just to make money? Bottom line, I don't care what his intentions are, Jesus is king. Now, I'm going to show you all this in a moment. I'm going to show you all this. Jesus is king. If the devil could ever say Jesus is king, Jesus is king, but the devil just won't say it. Okay, I'm going to help you all with this moment. Okay, but watch this. So everybody's judging, trying to judge, well, what's the real intentions? I watched the whole service where after the singing, then they had somebody come, and somebody judging, the person that had preached was a white evangelical. Who give a flip? And I listened to it. The word's the word. Altar call was made. Now, okay, people get saved. Watch this. I'm going to show y'all something. It's going to help y'all so much. It's going to settle a whole lot of issues for people. Philippians 1, verse 15. Y'all know there's always answers in the word, right? This is what Paul said. Paul said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. He said, I don't know why these people preaching. He said, some people preaching out of strife, out of envy, and some also of goodwill. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul said, now while I'm in jail, some folks trying to preach because they want to start a church. Think since he in jail now, give me an opportunity to draw a crowd to me. That's what Paul's talking about here. They may afflict him out. He said, verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Y'all see what Paul said? He said, now the motive, that's between them and God. Whether pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I will therefore rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, I'm just glad people hear the gospel. I'm glad people come to Jesus. I'm glad people come to church who otherwise wouldn't come to church. Watch this. Here's the real issue. Even if they ain't coming to my church, and even if it wasn't my altar call. Are y'all listening to me? See, sometimes we're so busy judging that we lose the bigger picture. Let me use that from the New Living Translation, verse 15. It's true that some are preached out of jealousy and rivalry, and others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me. Now, where it says preach, you can put sing. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. But the issue is they still preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful. But verse 18, but it doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. Is that the answer? He said, their motives, God got to deal with it. If they preach about Jesus, I'm happy. Years ago, y'all, I tell you where I was. I was at Megafest. is someone got up singing who we come to know in this church. And when he got up to sing, there was anointing on his voice, but he had effeminate characteristics. Y'all with me? And I stood there as he was singing, even though anointing was flowing, I said, oh, he shouldn't be up there singing. But what he was singing about was true. He was singing about Jesus and how worthy he's of praise. And the Lord said to me, close your eyes and focus on me, not him. Because you're too focused on him, rather who he's singing about. I closed my eyes, started worshiping, tears running all down my eyes. But as long as I was focusing on him more than who he was singing about, I was missing the whole picture. Are y'all with me here? But see, now, only why I can tell you that, because in that situation, I had to do what? Judge myself. Another time, I told you this years ago, I went down to World Changers Church, Pastor Dollar Church, for a conference, and they usually always sit me and Pastor Marsha up to the front. Well, there arose an usher who knew not Herb and Marsha. They usually got an usher know us. Come on down. And so, she brought us in, sat us in the back. I said, well, she said, please, just sit right. I said, but, and I'm looking around for the other usher who know us. Can't find the ushers. We sitting there. I still see all those seats up there in the front where we would regularly be. Praise and worship going on. Praise and worship is anointing. I'm standing there going, I got an attitude. And the Lord said to me, am I as worthy of praise back here as I am up there? I said, yes, Lord. Got myself together and went on and entered into praise and worship. That was a situation in which I had to judge myself. How many times do you have issues you need to judge yourself, but you don't do it? You justify it. I could have got stuck in, well, she ought to respect. All these years I've been coming down here, they ought to respect me. They'll know how much seed I sow and who I am. I ain't got nothing to do with this at that moment. God's worthy of praise. Now, I didn't always feel this way. Because I was very judgmental. Put up Psalms 100. That's all right. I ain't getting no further than this, but it's all right. Put up Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye what? All ye saints. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us. And not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Keep going. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Can I tell you, anybody can do that? Anybody, everybody ought to praise God. Wait. But that's an adulterer. They ought to praise God that God kept them alive another day and let them give them an opportunity to repent for the adultery. They can't be up there praising God. The way they living, well, the way you living, you still praising God? How you going to judge praise? God's worthy of praise through anybody. If a man came here drunk, I've never heard of praise the Lord. He been good to me. You can't say God ain't been good to that man. He kept him alive though he was drunk. While you was at home last night, he could have been on the street, on the blanket. And maybe he feel like he got more reason to praise God than you do. How you going to judge somebody's praise? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I came along at a time in traditional Pentecostal, we judged anybody who was dancing. I can't believe they have been church out. Like they don't have a reason. They smoke. And they're up here dancing in church. Well, maybe they dancing because they realize, man, my lungs could have collapsed. And God keeping me alive, you know I'm a smoker. Everybody can praise. Don't judge people's praise. Judge yourself.
A medical exam does a complete scan of your body. When was the last time you did a self-exam? In this reflective series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to look introspectively and examine any areas that may be causing a spiritual deficit in your life. Order today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for spiritual self-examination. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.